Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
In life, it's not where you go, it's who you travel with. Charles Schulz.
I was trying to call my friends and family to let them know, and the service was terrible, as you could imagine. So we were hiking up, and I'm checking my phone to see if we have any bars, and keep hiking. Finally, we get a bar that seems stable. So I'm who should we call? So we called his mom, and his mom happened to be out on a bike ride or something, so she didn't have the best reception either. But I think it was Jacob said, so I asked Kelsey if she would marry me. And then I was and I said, yes. And then just silence on the phone, nothing. And I was oh boy.
I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod.
Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Lace up those boots and sling on the pack for a romp through trails, short and long. With your host and Renaissance man, Doc, it's time to embrace the suck.
Welcome back to another week on the trail. I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Let's start off with a reminder. If you are enjoying the podcast, take just a minute, help us out, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're not enjoying the pod, well, just go ahead and keep that to yourself. All right. This week, we get to talk about love on the trail. You know, there's nothing better than being able to share the great outdoors with your significant other, or so I've heard. As we all know, Mrs. Doc is not exactly into sleeping in the dirt or pooping in the woods. And that's okay. However, this week's guests are a couple who have some great stories to tell, including a proposal on the trail. So welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod, Kelsey and Jacob. How's it going, guys?
What's up, Doc?
We're doing great.
We're excited.
Fantastic. Did I get that right? Are we going to hear some stories of love on the trail?
Yes, for very sure. Romantic.
I can tell already, there is no distance between the two of you. If you're not watching this on YouTube, They are closely knit, obviously.
Living in a van helps that.
Yeah, kind of essential.
You know, living in a van and being on the trail, there are no secrets.
This is true. Yeah.
Right?
Yep, absolutely.
Each of you knows everything about the other person. And if you guys are good with that and you survive that, that means that you are a forever couple. So congratulations.
Feels good.
He's stuck with me. Nice.
Now, you know, in America, on the long trails or even on shorter trails, there is a peculiar American tradition where we assign trail names based on your background, based on something that happens, a funny story, maybe some peculiarity that you exhibit. Have you guys had a chance to pick up trail names along the way?
I have picked up a trail name, yes.
Okay. Jacob, what do we have? And we have to hear the story behind it as well.
Yeah. So I was probably around 11, 12 years old. First time we summited Long's Peak in the Rocky Mountains. And we were doing some, day hiking, I think maybe a backpacking trip. leading up to that. And we went to the ranger station, I think, to pick up our backcountry passes and whatever, just, you know, get the lay of the land. And talking with the ranger, and, you know, I'm with my family members, two uncles and my dad, or maybe three uncles, I think. And I'm just, you know, this little kid hanging out. And this ranger is talking to them. And they say, he turns and looks at me. He says, "Him, he is exactly what the cougars are looking for." Like, they're calling behind you. Don't let him be in last. Don't let him be in the front. Always between people. The cougars are out there and they will pick him right up. And there's like, all right, great. And so I'm, you know, terror. I'm like 12 years old. I was feeling pretty comfortable at that, but then I was like, oh my gosh, like, what am I getting myself into? And of course,
that, you know, had to be like, disconcerting as a 12 year old to hear that from a ranger.
The ranger, you know, the authority is like, you're going to get killed by a cougar for sure. And so, you know, as we're leaving, my family is just trying to, you know, make light of it a little bit and joke around. And shout out to Uncle John. He says, "I think we should call you Cougar Bait."
I had a feeling that might be the name, Cougar Bait.
And so there it was, Cougar Bait from then on.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did it happen to work out that, Kelsey, are you older than Jacob?
I am a little bit older than Jacob. Oh,
well, hey, you know, multiple meanings. You got to love that. That's fantastic.
The name sticks around.
You know, your Instagram handles are Parks and Tech, right? That's your Instagram account, Parks and Tech. And I thought tonight that when I asked this question about trail names, and I love being surprised at these kinds of things, I thought your trail names were going to be Parks and Tech. One of you is Parks and one is Tech. And I was debating in my mind, I said, which one do I think is going to be Tech? But that's obviously not the case.
Yeah.
No, Jacob earned that trail name. Every time I go on the trail, I'm like, maybe this time I'll get a trail name. I think I want it too badly. So it's never going to happen for me. So yeah, that's actually why we're here. Hoping you can assign.
The more you want it, the tougher it is. That's right. Well, maybe we can find a trail name for you during the episode tonight.
That'd be a dream. Perfect. Okay.
We'll keep our ears open for that. But during the course of the episode, we typically go by trail names if you have one. So Jacob, this is the last time I will mention that name. You are Cougar Bait from this point forward. I'm Doc, and we have Kelsey, but we're on the lookout for a trail name for Kelsey.
Perfect.
Okay. Great. Hey, have the two of you had a chance to listen to the podcast before?
We have. Lots of hours in the van means lots of podcast time.
Okay, nice. I only ask because I want to make sure that you are familiar with a segment that happens towards the end of the episode called the Pro Tip Insight of the Week. That's where I will turn to the two of you. And I always love when I talk to a duo because that means we get two pro tips for the week. So I'll turn to you and ask you to share some bit of trail wisdom with our listeners to make their next outdoor experience even better. And you are expected to drop trail wisdom throughout the episode, but you will be on the hook for one at the end.
All right, we're ready.
Fair enough.
Okay. All right. And hey, another feature we've been doing this season is the Must Bring Gear Review, sponsored by the ultralight backpacking gear company Outdoor Vitals. And here's how it works. And oh, I just blew this. So apologies to my youngest daughter, Half Calf. I have introductions from her on the segments. So excuse me one second.
The Must Bring Gear Review.
Okay, there we go. So another feature we've been doing is the Must Bring Gear Review, sponsored by the ultralight backpacking gear company Outdoor Vitals. Here's how it works. If you were to let a stranger pack your bag with pretty much generic gear for a multi-day hike, what is the one specific piece of gear you would insist on being packed? And if you've got a particular brand for that specific piece of gear, even better. So Kelsey and Cougar Bait, what is your must bring piece of gear? And we'll do ladies first.
I would say I have to have fancy socks. Like, I'm good with bare bones, everything else, but I need my $30 pair of socks. And I always pack way too many because I have no one to get blisters on the trail. So that's where all of my REI money goes. And every time we get a dividend, it's always restocking on socks.
I love the fact that you characterize these as fancy socks, not hiking socks or in Gingy socks or, you know, a brand name pair of socks, but fancy socks. That gives us all some insight into Kelsey. Mm-hmm. And you know what? There may be a trail name in there somewhere. I'm going to think on this.
Top shelf socks only for
yeah.
Top shelf. Love it. All right. How about you, Cougar Bait?
So the boots I got for our Kilimanjaro hike, I love those boots so much. They're Vask hiking boots, waterproof, super tough, super comfortable. And I put on, a few hundred miles on those, and I just love them. So I won't go anywhere without them.
Okay. So Vask hiking boots. I would just like to point out that to the two of you, that the question was about, if someone's going to pack your bag, and you both listed things that don't go in your bag. Well, I mean, extra pairs may go in your bag if we're talking about fancy socks.
But. He loves those boots, man. Yeah. He loves them.
Okay. Very good. Hey, another segment we're doing to help us talk about gear is the...
It's the hiking poll.
The hiking poll. That's right. So this is a 7-question survey that's going to help me determine where you fall on a scale from 1 to 100 on the crazy scale, with 100 being completely sane and 1 being absolutely bonkers. So you ready for this?
Okay.
Yep.
Bring it on.
And again, we get 2 for the price of 1. So we're going to have 2 scores tonight. One for Kelsey and 1 for Cougar Bait. Although if your answers are pretty similar, I mean, you may have a similar score. So here we go. All right. First question, pretty easy. Trekking poles or no trekking poles?
No poles.
No poles.
Neither of you. No poles. Why not?
Coordination, the sound. I don't know. I'm just not a fan.
I'm just a thumb underneath the backpack strap kind of guy. So that's where my hands live the whole time I'm hiking. So I don't know. That's just...
Yeah, I imagine if your thumb was underneath your backpack strap and you had hiking poles, that'd be pretty awkward.
Yeah, kind of defeats the purpose.
Probably keep people away from you, though. So.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you would maintain distance, safe social distance in this time. Okay. All right, next question. Boots or trail runners?
Trail runners for me.
Yeah, I got to go boots. I have done trail runners before, but I like a good stable boot that you can kick rocks with them.
And yeah. Kelsey, why do you go with trail runners?
My blister problems. I just don't trust hiking shoes. I mean, I've had good ones before, but the break-in time, it just, it's too short of a period where I'm actually enjoying them. So I like my Hokas.
Yeah, you are not alone in that. I think going with trail runners was a game changer for me. You know, with boots, I was always having to take care of my feet. You know, 3 days into a hike, all I'm doing is feeling my feet, taking care of my feet, dreading putting the boots back on. And when I went to trail runners, it changed the whole dynamic.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes hiking like less intimidating too for folks. Like you can get out there in whatever shoes and you don't have to have fancy hiking specific types of shoes. So I love it.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Cougar Bait, never any problems with blisters with your boots?
Not never, but definitely less than Kelsey, so I don't complain.
All right. Hey, your preferred shelter system, tent, tarp, hammock, or cowboy camping?
Tent.
Yeah, we've always been tent people. So maybe I'll try hammock sometime.
Separate okay. Hammocks. I just want to make that clear. We've tried double hammocks and not with this one.
Yeah. Now you say not with this one. What does that mean?
It's a very mobile sleeper, I guess.
He's a wiggler, huh?
Uh-huh.
Moves
uh-huh.
around a lot. Yeah. Okay. How about your sleep system? Sleeping bag or quilt?
I'm team sleeping bag.
Yeah, we have a double sleeping bag that we've used quite a bit.
Okay.
It's all right. Pretty slick.
Even the wiggler there, Cougar Bait, you prefer a sleeping bag to a quilt? Because I found myself kind of constricted with a sleeping bag. I'm a side sleeper. I kind of move around a little bit. And the quilt really, really allows that freedom of movement.
The key is zippers on both sides of the sleeping bag. And he pretty much just keeps it open. So I guess it's kind of like a quilt.
Yeah, that's fair.
But on cold nights, I'm a huge fan of the sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Okay.
We made it into the van because we love it so much. And just in case.
Right. Always
have the double sleeping bag.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have a particular brand or weather temperature rating that you prefer?
Well, I bought that sleeping bag when we first went to the Grand Canyon, and it was supposed to be rated for 30 degrees. And I thought that was plenty because it was May and we were in Wisconsin and it was like 70 degrees out. And it was like 25 degrees when I woke up the first morning we were there. And so, yeah, we were glad that it was as warm as it was because it was very cold outside the tent. But, yeah.
Our engagement trip is that one.
Oh, we're going to get to that story. Hang on. All right. And are you in your van right now?
Yes, we are.
And where is the van parked?
Outside of the Sopapillas factory in New Mexico. We saw Sopapillas off the side of the road. So we're like, and turns out there's good internet here. So we decided to take the interview.
Win-win. Fantastic. All right. This next question, very important, huge point deduction if you answer incorrectly. So be very careful here. All right. Are you a stove couple, cold soak or stoveless?
I know the right answer here because we've listened to enough podcasts of yours. We are definitely a stove couple.
Now, are you just saying that because it's the right answer or is that actual truth?
That's the truth.
When we're like hiking or out and about and like in the van, we have a stove with us that we break out sometimes. Mm-hmm. But we have done like just car camping with just over the fire before. And that's super fun. Mm-hmm. I'd say in general, we're a stove.
It's gotta be hot though. You know, right. No cold soaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something satisfying about hot food.
Yeah.
Especially after a long day. And if it's cold out. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, to any future guests who are listening, you know, don't just give me the right answers because you're hoping to avoid a low score. There is like a badge of honor to have a low score. I mean, you know, through hikers are all a little bit crazy. So, you know, own that. It's okay. All right. Hey, is life better above or below the tree line?
Well, I would say right now in the van, we're kind of weather wusses. So we just don't tolerate heat very well because we have no air conditioning, and we don't tolerate cold very well just because it can freeze our pipes and freeze our battery and stuff like that. So we're very much moderate temperatures right now. So that's where my mind goes, is anywhere it's a nice moderate temperature, we're all about.
I think I'm below the tree line too. We spent a lot of time in the desert over this winter, and just seeing trees everywhere is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. Now this last question, I've gone back and forth on, you know, what this last question should be. I think I'm going to change it a little bit I'm going to update it from the outline version that you have. So my question is, do you pack for comfort or speed when you're backpacking?
I pack for speed and then pack everything else that I want for comfort in Jacob's pack.
Smart. That is good. That's good. I think you get some bonus points for that answer.
You
up the cougar bait with all the extra stuff.
Do I get crazy points or not crazy points?
You get points for sanity because you don't want to carry that stuff. And if cougar bait has no objection, he gets some crazy points for carrying the extra weight for you.
Okay, I'll take it.
Happy wife, happy life, right?
All right. Very good. Let me do some quick math here. That's the end of the hiking poll. I'm going to carry the two. We're going to divide by pi. Going to multiply by the unknown X factor here. And cougar bait, you've got a score of 71. And Kelsey, you have a score of 76, both very solid. So congratulations on that. Now, those scores are subject to change as the interview evolves tonight. You may get some additional points or you may lose some points. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see. Okay.
Hey, before we get too far down the trail, let's back up a little bit. We'd love to hear about your origin stories, kind of where you grew up, where you spent your time as a kid, Did your families take you on hiking and backpacking trips, or how did you get involved in the backpacking cult? So who wants to go first?
So I didn't really get into hiking until I met Jacob. I was very much into the outdoors. My family, we were always at the cabin, always hunting and fishing, love getting lost in the woods, but just never really considered myself a hiker. Mm-hmm. And Jacob and I started dating in college, and I was out in DC for a summer doing an internship. And Jacob was like, hey, my family wants to invite you on this hike, and it's a little bit intense, but I think you could totally do it. And I was like, oh boy, I don't know what this means. What gear do I need? So came back from DC, flew home to Minnesota, and kind of went to Cabela's with my dad and asked the person, what do I need to hike? And the hike was Long's Peak. That was my first really big hike and first 14er. It was my first hiking trip was a 14er after we got acclimated. And yeah, it was a great, great way to pull me in and meet his family in kind of an extreme way. But it was... I've kind of been hooked since.
Okay. Now, where did you grow up again?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Okay. And Cougar Bay, was that your experience as well, Minnesota?
I'm from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, we met at college and we both went to Madison for college.
Okay. All right. And we already know from your earlier story that you received your trail name when you were about 12 years old. So you were out there doing some hiking. Was that a common practice with your family?
Yeah, I really have my dad to thank for getting me out there fairly young. And yeah, I mean, most of the craziest stuff that both of us have done, I think, has been planned by my dad. So yeah, including the Long's Peak trip. That was the first one that we did with Kelsey. And just hiking in the Rockies and Grand Canyon and wherever else, I guess, just in the Midwest. So yeah, that a little bit more of a background, but I think our best memories are together.
Okay. And the two of you, when you were at Madison, I mean, how did you meet? And I'm gonna ask Fancy Socks first. We're gonna try that name on for a little bit. Fancy Socks. I mean, did you guys have a class together? Did you see him across the campus? Was it you had a mixer or something? How did that work? And was it love at first sight, or is this something that the both of you had to warm up to?
Well, I'm very curious to hear Jacob's answers. But we met in the marching band.
You guys are bandos.
We are bandos, trumpet.
So obviously you played instruments in high school then as well.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
So I actually went to UW to play softball. So I was there my freshman year playing softball and then decided to kind of take a 180 and try out for the band. And that's ultimately where we met. We met junior year. And Jacob was leading some Cougar Bait was leading some after band like ab exercises. And I was like, cool, I'll join. And that's kind of how we met. And then for 9 months, I was friend zoned and we went
9 months in the friend zone.
Yeah, we went everywhere together.
Fancy Socks, with you saying that you were in the friend zone, that kind of implies to me that you wanted to be something more.
I think that's fair to say. Yeah. I was like, what's wrong with this kid? But we went to Niagara Falls. I feel like this is kind of sparked or a good example of our sense of adventure. So one weekend during college, Jacob sent me an article that Niagara Falls had frozen and that it doesn't often freeze. So I'm like, we got to go. So we literally drove from Wisconsin to Canada to see Niagara Falls. And we went with our friend Michael. And this was before we were dating. But along that trip, I met his grandparents because they lived in Indiana. Yeah, it was this whole thing. So
okay, now let's hold that thought for a second there, Fancy Socks. There's some stuff to unpack here. I have some questions for Cougar Bait here. Okay. So we've heard Fancy Socks's version of events here. First thing I want to get to is what's up with the ab exercises for the bandos. And I mean, I know from my previous life as a high school principal, and I know how much goes into marching band. I mean, it is complex. It's a lot of work. Those kids are sweating when they're out there. And so, was this just for the tuba players who were carrying those large instruments and they need to work on their core, or is this for or was this just an excuse to make your move?
I wish I could say it was that well planned out, but no, we take marching band very seriously at Wisconsin, and sometimes it's got to take up to the next level. So,
and those ab exercises lead to the next level. That's how you level up in band. Is more core.
Strong core. They're important.
That's right. Okay. Balance. Now, did you intentionally put fancy socks in the friend zone for 9 months?
Not intentionally, no.
Go on.
It was not on purpose, but it just took me a while to get with the game. And then eventually, after she agreed to go to Niagara Falls with me one weekend, I was like, maybe she likes me a little bit. So a month later, I made my move.
So did you reach out to all the band members and tell them, hey, Niagara Falls has frozen over, let's go?
Just the one.
And a month from that point is when you made your move.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like 4 months.
No, 1 month. Fancy socks.
Fancy socks. Fancy socks. Was it worth the wait?
Yes.
Okay. Nice. If you're not watching this on YouTube, you need to stop the episode right now and tune into YouTube. This is hilarious. The looks they're giving each other. You're waiting to see what the other one's going to say. This is great.
Oh, the best question, though, is why did you feel the need to do exercises after band? I'm like, yeah, why did you feel the need to do that?
Don't have a great answer.
Cougar Bate tells his fellow band members, there is no other band program doing ab exercises after practice. Let's level up. Let's take it to the next level. Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you are living in a van, you're traveling where you want. How are you funding this exercise? That's what I always ask folks, how are they paying for their adventures? How are they paying the bills? Are you working remotely? Do you have a nest egg that you've built up and you're now dipping into? Do you have financial support some other way? Because I know there are adventurers out there just longing to break free from their jobs and find out how you're doing this.
Yeah. So obviously COVID hit, everything went remote. My job, it was a pretty smooth transition to going remote. So I work in healthcare IT, and we were just kind of home a lot. And we're like, we got to get out of here. So we found this van that was in Idaho at the time, and we flew out to Idaho and we got the van, and then we just kind of figured out how to get working remotely from the van. So that's my side of things. I work full time, doing healthcare IT, and it's great. It's really nice to have the flexibility, and, my job allows me to take every other Monday off. It's just kind of written in. So Monday's a great time to go explore the trails when no one else is out there. And yeah, it's been a really good thing. And I'm super lucky to be able to have a solid income and do this, but Jacob's story is a little bit more interesting.
Is that the new direction for healthcare IT? Is it that a lot of them have gone remote?
Yeah. I mean, I'm able to support hospitals across the country, and just log in through a VPN. And we've been really lucky to be able to find awesome internet in like national forests and BLM land. So we can open up the doors, go for long, like lunchtime walks with the dog. And yeah, it's perfect.
Oh, that's the first I've heard of a dog. What kind of dog do you have?
We have a puggle named Georgia. She's 11. So she's an old girl, but she's perfect for the van because she pretty much sleeps most of the time. Part cat.
Yeah, perfect for the van. You wouldn't want to have a Great Dane or a St. Bernard, right?
No. No, she's enough. And she's like 30 pounds. So.
Well, you know what? I forgot to ask. What instruments did you play?
I played the trumpet.
I played trombone.
Trumpet and trombone. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Fancy socks, trumpet. I think I like fancy socks better than trumpet. trumpet might have a little bit of a negative connotation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, fancy sax doesn't have any of that.
I like fancy sax. It's good.
Tell your work from home story.
Yeah, so before last year, I was a medical student, but I had also started getting involved in a startup in the radiology AI space. And then again, with just the pandemic and Kelsey being able to work remotely, I was getting interested in this whole van life thing. I decided to take a year off of med school to work full-time on the company, on the startup. So yeah, I'm also working full-time remotely. And that was also pretty natural because it was remote even during med school. My co-founder lives in North Carolina, so we've always been working remotely. So yeah, we're both able to, you know, be gainfully employed, but also travel the country. And as much as possible during the week, you know, we try to get to a national park or two when it's less busy. On the weekends, you know, we move around and we, you know, we do a little bit bigger adventures when we can. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been great. We've been able to be like the only car in the parking lot in like Zion, which you don't get to experience very often.
No. How nice is that? Now, Cougarbait, tell me a little bit more about your startup. It's, you said radiology and AI. How does that work? What's going on there?
Yeah, so we create basically computer algorithms that help diagnose radiology studies. And there's a variety of applications to do that. And so we partner with hospitals and some other companies to deliver software to hospitals to help you know, radiologists make diagnosis. It helps like screen exams so radiologists can read urgent exams faster. Mm-hmm. And also look for mistakes that radiologists might have missed, especially these days with how high imaging volumes are and how busy hospitals are. Try to, you know, fill the gap a little bit with some of the mistakes that humans make. Mm-hmm. And try to improve patient care. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, I don't want to tell you what to do, but, you know, how cool would it be for you to get your medical degree and live in a van and just travel the country and, you know, help people in various situations? It's almost like a novel. I could picture that.
I love it. We actually both were first responders before we decided to pick up our life a little bit. So I could see it. I could see it.
Okay. Well, first responders, you each have to now share your scariest first responder story. Of course, we'll leave the names out of it because we don't want to violate HIPAA, but any particular, you know, knee knocking, nervous first responder stories?
I think of responding to a wildfire call that I think about all the time because we've run into wildfires on our travels, and it's pretty much dropped off with a shovel and a broom because those are actually pretty effective at putting out fires. And it was pretty small scale. It was in a city, so it's not like a huge forest, but just the adrenaline, and it's a lot less scary than being in a house, in my opinion. Those stories are less fun for me to share, but yeah, just the raking and sweeping we did to keep that fire under control was like unbelievable and really cool thing to look back on when I drive past that field and the development of houses to think of like what it could have spiraled into. So that's one of my favorites.
Right.
So Kelsey's a firefighter, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm an EMT, a volunteer EMT.
Okay.
So I don't know. I've had some crazy stories. My very first call was what we call PNB. If you watch like medical TV, it's like a code. Basically it means pulseless, not breathing, which is, you know, as serious of a call as you can get. And, yeah, so that was definitely memorable. The very first, ambulance call I got, and I had to do CPR and, all that stuff. So,
and if you're doing CPR, right, there's actually like a cracking of the ribs, right? You have to be pushing hard enough to get the heart moving, physically moving. And, yeah, yeah, that's that gives me chills.
I don't recommend having CPR done on you. It's not great.
It'll save your life, but you're going to feel it for a while.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
For sure.
But I guess feeling it for a while is better than never feeling again. Not so feeling it, yeah. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk to Fancy Socks and Cougar Bait about the romance story, as well as other stories of adventure and van life. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back. From the backcountry to the backyard, we believe everyone deserves the highest level of protection. Since 1984, Sawyer Products offers the best, most technologically advanced solutions for protection against sun, bugs, and water, using time-released liposome technology, topical insect repellents, and new standards in water filtration. And with every Sawyer product you buy, you are helping to provide clean water through 140 charities in 80 countries with their long-lasting water filters. Every Sawyer product you buy is an investment in our common humanity. Choose Sawyer and keep the adventure going, knowing that their products have been tested and chosen by those who count on serious protection on the trail all day long. The John Freakin' Muir Pod is sponsored by Outdoor Vitals, the ultralight backpacking gear company whose mission is to improve the mental, physical, and emotional health of mankind by facilitating impactful outdoor experiences. Outdoor Vitals creates innovative technical products with confidence-inspiring education that empower outdoor ultralight adventurers. Their focus on performance enables you to live ultralight with gear you can actually be confident with. Whether you're looking for an ultralight sleep system, shelter, or pack, or if you're looking for top-quality apparel for the trail, you can find it at Outdoor Vitals. Do yourself a favor. Live ultra light. Want to make a podcast? Spotify's got a platform that lets you make one super easily, then distribute it everywhere and even earn money. All in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Video podcasts are also available on Spotify. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. And best of all, it's totally free with no catch. Since I discovered Spotify for Podcasters, I feel like my creativity has raised to another level. I highly recommend you give it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. And welcome back. We were talking to Fancy Socks. That name is really growing on me, by the way. Fancy Socks. I like it.
Yeah.
And Cougar Bait about their story and we're going to talk about some of their adventures here. And I'd like to go back to the romance story just for a little bit. We talked a little bit about Niagara Falls, how Cougar Bait made his move by inviting you to go see the frozen over Niagara Falls. How did that go? I mean, what did you infer from that invitation, Fancy Socks? I mean, you're thinking, okay, he's only called me, he's asked me, and this could be something here.
You know, you would think that. But when a college boy books a hotel room overlooking Niagara Falls, you kind of think like he's going to make a move. Nothing. So I was perplexed. My roommates were like, keep giving this kid a try. He's going to ask. He's obviously into you. So you really have my roommates to thank for that.
That's true.
But yeah, that was just the start of many adventures to come.
Okay. Now, I never know what the answer I'm going to get when I ask the question. It could be it's none of your business. So feel free to say that. No offense taken. But Cougar Bait, did you book two hotel rooms, or was it one hotel room and you slept on the couch, or what's going on there?
Well, so it was one hotel room. Okay. But to be fair, our friend Michael was along.
Okay.
And do you remember the sleeping arrangement?
Yes, I do. Thank you for asking.
Cool. That clearly.
Two beds. And then they upgraded us to this like incredible suite, like top floor, truly overlooking the falls. And there was a separate like living room space, which is where Michael stayed. And he was rooting for us too. He's like, I'll just be over here. And still nothing. Sorry, honey.
I do have regret.
All right. So Niagara Falls comes and goes. And I think Cougar Bait said 1 month later, and Fancy Socks. The 4 months later, what happened next in this love story?
We started dating, and then I went off to DC for the summer, so we had to do distance for a little bit, and then really kind of bringing it back to the trail. That Long's Peak trip happened, and I, like I said, I was hooked. I mean, his family was great. I was definitely so excited to have someone that like pushed my limits a little bit and got me outside more. So it was perfect. It was great.
So was Cougar Bait more outdoorsy at this point? I mean, he pushed you out of your comfort zone and got you out there on the trail?
That's a really good question, because like I will like bait his hook when we go fishing. So like,
oh, okay.
I'm more outdoorsy in some ways, but he's more experienced on the trails.
Okay. Yeah,
that's fair. No defense. You don't want to say anything?
That's a pretty good summary, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a former educator, so I like to use wait time just to see what comes out, just to see what develops. That was good. Okay. Now, tell us about Long's Peak. What kind of a trail or what kind of a hike is that?
Long's Peak, highly recommend it if you haven't done it. It's a 15 mile out and back. There's lots of cool landmarks along the way that you come familiar with as you're doing it.
Is this in Wisconsin?
It's in the Rocky Mountain National Park. It's the tallest mountain in Rocky Mountain National Park, one of the 14ers. And it's a pretty cool trail. It's, you leave kind of at crack of dawn. Like a lot of these 14ers, you need to be off the summit and hopefully below tree line before like noonish or so, just because of lightning and storm concerns.
Right.
So you leave, I think we left at like 3 a.m. maybe. 6 miles of just kind of normal trail switchbacks and that sort of thing. And then you start getting to like the landmarks of the Long's Peak Trail. If you're on the Keyhole route, which is what we did. So there's Boulder Field, which is just right when you get above tree line. It's just what it sounds like. It's just a huge expanse of boulder. They just kind of hop from rock to rock. And then you go up that a little bit. There's a ridge with a just a chunk, a notch out of the rock, and that's called the Keyhole. It's a pretty cool spot to cross over. And then you cross over the backside of the mountain. There's the ledges, which again is basically what it sounds like. There's the trough, which is probably the hardest part. It's like a 1200 foot vertical climb, very, very steep, and just kind of weaving your way through loose rock and stuff like that. And then
it's not just a simple trail. It sounds like there's some class 3 scrambling there going on.
Yeah. It's not, it's not technical, but like it, it's close. And if it was like snowy at all, it would definitely be technical. So, we haven't done that in the winter or anything. And then from the trough, there's the narrows, which again is what it sounds like. It's just very, very narrow ledges. And by that point you're pretty close to the summit. Pretty sheer drop-offs. It's starting to get pretty exciting. And then the last part is aptly called the home stretch, which is just 700 feet of just like granite. And again, it's not technical, it's scrambleable, but like you're using handholds and stuff to get to the very top. And it's pretty awesome summit to be on.
Now so Fancy Socks.
In-laws?
Fancy Socks, is there an alternate version of this story? I mean, he's talking about being exciting. Was that your experience as well?
It was such a rush, and nice. I am very competitive and was just determined, because everyone was like, are you sure you can do it? So I like ran the last bit of it just to like show people that I could, mostly out of spite. I had a great time. Like I said, I had never experienced anything even close to that before. Like we'd driven around by the Rockies and done just kind of the touristy viewpoints, but that was just a completely different way to experience the mountains. And like, you really earn the view at the end, and it's so worth it.
Right. Now, you said you're with your future in-laws at this point.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So that's a, you said that's a great way to meet your future in-laws. They get to see you in these types of situations. And what was their response? I mean, were they Cougar Bait? Maybe this is more of a question for you. What did they think of Fancy Socks after this trip?
Well, they were obviously very impressed because she's very impressive. But yeah, I mean, obviously my dad loves having a hiking buddy, so he was very happy. And it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. I love that. They were very impressed because you're very impressive. That he said that very clearly. That's extra points there. Cougar Bait. Nice job. You're now at 74. So okay. Thanks. All right. Now the two of you though just have not only done hiking though. I understand there's also been some bike riding and camping. Is it bike packing?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I think we just get restless if we sit still for too long. And in Madison, there's great bike trails, and there's trails that we just hadn't gone that far out on. So we're like, what's 100 miles from here? Like, let's see how we can do that. And mostly just like weekend warrior stuff where we set a goal that we want to see, you know, however many state parks or bike however many miles or sign up for a half marathon trail run that we're not prepared for at all. we just kind of like to stay busy, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Half marathon trail runs that you haven't trained for?
Yeah. And didn't know it was a trail run until we started running it.
All right. Cougar Bait, you just lost 3 points. You're back down to 71. Okay. All right. Nice. Let's talk about May 2016 in the Grand Canyon. Take us through that. I understand that was a special moment in your story.
Absolutely. So it was mostly a surprise. I think maybe 2 weeks in advance, I told you that we were going to Grand Canyon. But yeah, just planned a trip after we finished. Actually, after I graduated, you had already graduated. And to fly out to Grand Canyon and do some hiking. And on the second or third day there, we did the South Kaibab Trail down and next to the Colorado River, pull out a ring and ask her to marry me. And then we took the Bright Angel Trail back up. She said yes. So, yeah.
That you really abbreviated that story. It was all kind of rushed through that. Did he rush through the proposal? Was that what it was like, Fancy Socks?
So I was definitely in a rush to get down to the bottom because I knew he was scheming up something. So we must have made like record pace on the way down because I think I jogged like most of it and you were like, slow down. Like, but yeah, so we made it down to the bottom and decided to dip our feet in the Colorado River and just kind of take it in. And there was no one else around. The hike down is just such a breeze. Like that's what I remember the most is just being like, I don't understand why this trail is like such a big deal, or like all the Grand Canyon, like it's not a big deal. You can just hike down to the bottom. I felt very differently going up. And then also going up.
Gravity has that effect. Yes.
Right? I know. And with my blister problems, it was something. But you know, I was so excited because he had proposed and, I was trying to like call my friends and family to let them know. And the service was terrible, as you could imagine. So we were like hiking up and I'm like checking my phone to see if we have any bars and, you know, keep hiking. Finally, we get a bar that seems like stable. So I'm like, who should we call? So we called his mom, and his mom happened to be out on a bike ride or something. So she didn't have the best reception either. But I think it was Jacob said, so I asked Kelsey if she would marry me. And then I was like, and I said, yes. And then just silence on the phone, nothing. And I was like, Oh boy, not a great start.
It's a rough crowd. Yeah.
Well, it turns out the call had dropped, and like his poor mom is also like scrambling to try to get good service, and we're trying to get good service. And she's like, wait, what did I hear? Like once we finally got back in touch with her, but she didn't know about it. My family did. But yeah, it was a very, very exciting time. We're telling everyone on the trail what had just happened. And, you know, I think I might've finished that hike in socks because my feet were like bleeding. So
yep.
Were they fancy?
They weren't fancy enough. That was the problem.
They weren't fancy at the end. So probably pretty holy.
Right.
Now, Cougar Bait, did you have it worked out in your mind that there was a specific location where you were going to ask her to marry you?
I had it down to two locations. One was at the bottom, which is what I did, you know, next to the Colorado. The other was just kind of at like an overlook spot for sunset. So it was a little bit of a game time decision.
Nice. And you were down by the river when you asked her?
Yes. Yeah. By like Phantom Ranch, I guess in the area, just down at the very bottom. Yeah, just on the shore. Like I said, we took our shoes off and soaked our feet. And then I set up a camera on a tripod a little ways away to capture the moment. And yeah, popped the question.
And when he was setting up the camera, did you have an inkling of something was going to happen there? Fancy socks?
It was a bit of a giveaway, but we do set up the tripod a bunch to try to capture moments of both of us. So yeah, it was a giveaway.
That's okay.
Now, did you have the ring with you at that time?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Any nervousness about possibly losing the ring along the trip?
I'm sure I was nervous about it at some point, but it all worked out. So
I talked to another group of folks who did the John Muir Trail. Billy Yang, he's an ultra distance runner. He hadn't done much hiking. And he kind of documented his trip along the John Muir Trail. And he went with a couple of friends of his. I think it's Gabby and Elon. And Elon had a plan to ask Gabby to marry him at some point on the trail. And he was always looking for the right moment, always waiting for the right moment. And he had this ring with him. And he was petrified that during these, you know, 2 weeks that somehow he was going to lose the ring or she was going to discover the ring on him somehow.
And he waited 2 weeks.
He was waiting for the right moment. And he decided the right moment was when they finished the hike at the Happy Isles trail signs. So
I can say that's a good move just based off of, you know, getting engaged and then having bleeding blisters as you hike up the Grand Canyon takes a little bit away from the romance, a little bit.
But I would say that's like the best trail magic out there is to propose and get a ring like that's you're true. Flying the rest of the miles, no, you true. Know? Yeah. So nice. Don't wait for all the men listening. If you have any takeaways from this.
Is that the pro tip right there?
That's the pro tip.
That's a pro tip. It's not the pro tip. It's a pro tip. Okay. Very good. Nice job, Cougar Bait. Congratulations, you two.
Thank you.
Are you guys married now?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Mr. and Mrs. Got it. All right.
But when we were engaged, we did Mount Kilimanjaro, which I think was possibly the biggest test.
Okay. That's perfect segue. That's next on the list is Kilimanjaro. We're going to move on to other stories of adventure. And tell us about the Kilimanjaro hike, which was February of 2017. So this is a little less than a year later. You're putting the relationship to the test by going through this really demanding summit.
Yeah.
With the in-laws again.
Oh, with the in-laws.
Yeah. I mean, we have them to thank for so many of our adventures for sure. But there is something about spending 8 nights on the side of Mount Kilimanjaro, you know, sleeping in a tent and sharing a toilet that really brings a group together.
Well, you had a toilet in the tent. That sounds like glamping.
It was pretty glamorous.
Yeah, well, I think digging cat holes is pretty difficult on Kilimanjaro, so you gotta figure out something.
But so was the toilet inside the tent?
It was a separate mini tent.
Oh, mini tent. Okay. All right. Yeah. I was trying to get go through the logistics of how that would work with the in-laws and the fiance, you know, and everything in the same tent. That wouldn't be good.
No,
would not be good. No.
No, I don't know if I would be here doing this interview. No, it was a great experience, and it's really hard to train for, you know, 19,000 plus feet elevation, and I don't think you realize. I mean, I'm a pretty hard sleeper, and we hardly slept, I think all of us in the group, because there's just so many changes and the elevation, and you're exhausted at the end of the day, but you can't sleep, and we were required to drink a certain amount of water on the way up, so we were all peeing constantly. Like, yeah. Stop like every other step to go pee, because
yeah. I think good news drink. Is you're hydrated. Bad yeah. news is, man, you are peeing all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. All day.
That sounds, like a you know what I call that? I call that a Wednesday night. That's just, you know, being in your 50s and wanting to stay hydrated. You know, it's many trips during the night, so it's crazy.
Yep. I feel like I can relate to being 50, like I'm ready for being 50 years old.
Oh, man. But no, it was incredible. And I don't know. I think we were all like just in such a daze on the summit day after lack of sleep and everything. But I mean, just looking back at those pictures, I can't even believe that was real life. It was once in a lifetime. But yeah, we took 8 days to get up, and I think one day is how quickly you can get back down. So
yeah. Yeah.
And now I've stood on top of Mount Whitney at 14,505 a couple of times. And I know that getting there, the last half mile getting there, I was stopping every 100 feet and taking a 5 minute break. I mean, the air was rare up there. 19,000 feet, 19,000 plus. I mean,
yeah.
What does that feel like?
Well, the crazy thing. So we both did a couple 14ers before then. But you ended up the night before you summit, you quote unquote sleep at over 15,000 feet. And so I think that was a really crazy moment where we're like, we've been above 14,000 feet. Now we're sleeping at 15,000 feet. And again, quote unquote, cause like I don't think we slept a wink the whole night, but we laid there and tried to breathe for a couple hours, and then started hiking. And then, yeah, another 4,000 feet up. I don't know. I feel lucky, I guess, that we did it a slow way, that no one got really sick. My mom borderline got a little altitude sickness, but we all did okay. But yeah, it's a pretty crazy thing. And the people that fail and get hurt on Kilimanjaro are people that go up really quickly and aren't ready for the altitude. So it's a serious hike, but it was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any problems with altitude sickness?
Nothing more than, you know, just kind of the normal headaches and feeling short of breath all the time. Super exhausted, but luckily we didn't have anything more serious.
Mm-hmm.
So
fantastic. And you guys have some good summit pictures?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we do. Thank goodness. Like I said, I don't know if we really were like present mentally when that all happened.
Yeah, there'd be nothing worse, right, than to finally summit after all of this torture getting up there and just being so disoriented and out of it, you forgot to take pictures. I mean, that would be terrible. I
think not believe that we actually did it.
Yeah.
We didn't have the photo evidence.
Uh-huh. Agreed.
All right. When was your actual nuptials? When did you get married?
May.
the following year, May 2018.
May 2018.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But before May 2018, you took another trip up to Oregon in August of 2017. Something was going on around that time.
Yes.
Yeah. That was an incredible trip. It's kind of a last minute spur of the moment. We're like, how often does a solar eclipse happen? We should go see that. And we should like really like do it right. So we wanted to be right in the path of it. And gosh, we took some Spirit Airlines like terrible flight that got us there like
6 a.m.
I think it was like middle of the night, and we're like, do we get a hotel room or like try to sleep in the Portland airport, which I think we ultimately did. And yeah, it was very much done on a budget as much as we could.
Hey, fancy socks. Fancy socks. If you can sleep on top of Mount Kilimanjaro, you can sleep in an airport.
Yeah, I mean, now with the van life, like, gosh, we've slept in lots of Walmart parking lots and other things. But yeah, no. And then we found exactly where we would be in the path and where the sun would be completely covered, and met some really, really neat people, and stayed on this beautiful forest land. And I don't know, it was just a really cool adventure that, and got to see Mount Hood and kind of appreciate the West Coast, which I think is ultimately what made us want to go back out there as soon as we got the van.
Yeah,
for
sure.
And what was the full eclipse like? Were you in the path of the, you got to see the full eclipse?
Yeah. I mean, total solar eclipse, just, it's really unbelievable. It's cool. It's spooky. Like, you just kind of get chills. That moment when it goes from a 99.9% solar eclipse to 100% is just like night and day. Literally feels like night and day difference, because you feel like all of a sudden it's like this weird dust hour. You look up and there's like a burning ring in the sky. And it lasts for, you know, I think we got like 4 or 5 minutes of it. Mm-hmm. Snap a few photos, just kind of like look around, like, this is really weird that this is happening. And then, you know, the sun comes back out and back to normal.
Yeah.
You know, even understanding the science of it, it's weird, right? It's pretty weird. It's pretty incredible, spine tingling. Can you imagine, you know, 5,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, and being in the path and wondering what in the world is going on? It had to be terrifying.
Yeah.
You know what the Mayans were all about, you know, their doomsday calendar.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. And so did you also get married in a on the trail somewhere, or did you have a more traditional ceremony?
So my family has a place that's kind of up in the middle of nowhere, Minnesota. And I kind of saw it.
Town?
Yeah.
Middle of nowhere. Minnesota. Okay.
Fargo is like the nearest big city. And that's
big city.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I kind of saw it as an opportunity to get all the people that we care about to go see this, you know, chunk of land that's important to my family. So dragged a bunch of people out to the middle of nowhere, Minnesota, and just had like acres to let people kind of wander, and live music and all that good stuff. So it was very outdoorsy, but still traditional, still kept grandma happy.
Yeah.
Got to keep grandma happy. Absolutely. We all understand that. And a short year later, you took a great anniversary trip. Where'd you guys go?
We went to Yellowstone and the Tetons for our first anniversary. And that was another great trip. We really like love Grand Tetons and love Yellowstone and love that area of Wyoming. It's so gorgeous. And we just drove out there and did some car camping, and Georgia got to come along for that trip, which was a lot of fun.
The Puggle.
The Puggle. She tried to take on a bison.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We fortunately were able to catch her before she met the bison face to face.
My money would have been on Georgia.
Yeah.
she has a nasty bark.
Yeah.
When she wants to.
Oh no. She thought it was pretty neat though. That was fun.
Yeah.
Now, this is before van life, right? This is, you said car camping you were doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Before van life, although we've been lucky enough to be able to go back there with the van. Mm-hmm. Actually, we went back there last December. Got a little bit of like winter experience in the Tetons, which was really cool. We rented some fat tire bikes and biked to the Jenny Lake like visitor center, and we're the only people in the entire park as far as we could tell. And yeah, we got to see the snowy Tetons, and that was a really fun trip too.
Now, you mentioned Jenny Lake, which reminds me of a previous guest that I had on the podcast, Mike Chambers, who had a show. I think he still has a show on Outside TV called Beat Monday. And it was about all about how much you could pack into, he and a buddy, how much you could pack into a weekend, what kind of adventures they could pack into a weekend. And one of the things they did was they went to Jackson Hole and they participated in what's called the picnic. Have you heard of the picnic before?
No, tell us.
So they start in Jackson Hole at the, I guess there's an arch made out of antlers.
Yep.
Have you seen that? So they get on their bikes and they leave from there and they bike up to Jenny Lake. They then swim across Jenny Lake. They get to the far side and then they then ascend the top of the Grand Teton. Wow. And then they go backwards. They hike down, they swim back across Jenny Lake. They get on their bikes and they bike back to the Antler Arch in Jackson Hole. And it's called the picnic. The picnic sounds so benign that it doesn't sound like much of a picnic to me, but.
Well, that sounds so cool. Yeah, what time of year does that happen? Do you remember?
Well, it's not an actual event. Some guy created the concept and you can choose to do it whenever you want to do it. So.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's awesome.
Add it to the list.
Yeah. That's a bucket lister.
Are you guys big swimmers?
I am. Jacob, not
Kelsey's
so much.
Very capable. And I try not to drown.
Jacob only swims for survival purposes. So.
You just attach a tether to her then and let her do most of the work.
Yeah. Perfect. That's a good idea.
Okay. Now we talked about van life a little bit earlier. You talked about picking up your van in Idaho. Now, you know, there's lots of vans throughout the country. Why did you have to go to Idaho to get this particular van? Is there something special about this van?
The van market is hot. And we were not the only people looking for a van 2021. So we were searching for quite a while and ultimately found this van that we wanted a Ford Transit. We wanted reasonable miles. We wanted it somewhat converted because we're only taking, Jacob's taking one gap year for medical school. So we wanted to kind of hit the road. And yeah, we found this guy that is a carpenter and kind of outfitted the van for his family of five of them. So they had like a bunk bed and just did a ton of like weekend adventures in it. So it was perfect. And we've made it a little bit more office space friendly. But yeah, it's been great to us. We haven't had any issues, knock on wood.
Now, are we looking at you guys through a laptop camera, through a webcam, through your phone? What are we looking at here?
Just a laptop propped up on a box that we found
on top of Georgia. Yeah. Strapped to Georgia. Are you able to move it around a little bit and give us a tour of what you call home there?
Oh boy.
or is the place a mess? I don't want to put you on the spot.
Oh, it's a mess. It's a mess. But I feel like that's part of the whole thing. Yeah, exactly. So we've got our photo wall here. Not many walls. It's actually a window. Here we're just outside. We've got curtains.
So is that the back of the van there?
The back, yep. Okay. Here, I don't know if you can see our RV map.
I see that, yes.
The states that we've been to.
Okay.
So pretty complete. And now here's where it becomes a mess. We've got dinner out still. Okay. The clothes is kind of propped up as I quickly changed my shirt before this interview. Uh-huh. We've got some storage up top and then we've got, these is what used to be able to fold down and become a bunk. So,
okay.
Yeah. Lots going on in here, but.
And are you guys sitting on the bed right now?
Yeah. So this is a table. We have the table up right now, but it converts down into the bed.
Okay. And you have everything you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had kayaks in here. We've had skis in here. We've had fat tire bikes in here. So it's kind of like our pickup truck, van, home, everything.
Okay. And you know what? I can relate to that because I'm going to tell you a little story. We were up in Mammoth when the kids were young. We had a, I don't know if it was a Suburban or if it was an Expedition. I think it was a Suburban. And it's me and my wife, Mrs. Doc. And we've got the three kids when they were little. And we have a bike rack on the back. And on the back of the bike rack, we've got five bikes. And my son and I decided we wanted to go see a movie up in Mammoth one evening. And so the girls dropped us off and we came out of the movie theater when it was over, and Mrs. Doc was driving in the parking lot of the movie theater there. And she caught the bikes in the bike rack on a pole as she was making a turn. She cut the turn too fine and caught the bikes there, and kept going. And the bike rack broke, and the bikes, of course, fell to the ground. And so what did we have to do? We actually ended up driving home eventually, you know, after we finished our stay there, but we drove home in the Suburban with the five of us, with all of our luggage and with the five bikes inside the car. So it's like a 3D, it's like a 3D puzzle. It's like Jenga, right? Or a 3D Tetris, getting everything in there, but you can fit a lot in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you believe.
If you believe, that's right. Nice. So what do you ascribe to vans being in high demand and van life really picking up? I know we haven't talked about it on the podcast. We've heard about the great resignation, a lot of people leaving the working life and finding other ways to survive and subsist, and just kind of this movement of dropping out of what's traditional. You think that's the case? Do you think there's something else afoot?
I think that's a lot of it.
I think COVID forced us all to stop and reevaluate where we're at, what we're doing, mm-hmm. if we're happy, and kind of seeing that things can be really temporary. Like we thought, oh, we have to go into work every day. We have to, kids have to go to school, like all these things that we just thought were part of life. And then literally 1 week it flipped and that was no longer the case. So I think realizing that things are temporary and life is short, I think people are kind of trying to figure out what they really want to be doing with it. If, when the next thing hits, it's like, where do I want to be in life? And for us, we just knew we didn't want to be, we were just in a suburb of Madison, in a condo building where we were the youngest people by 50 years. And we're like, this isn't us, we need to get back out there and find adventure. So the van was the perfect way for us to do that. And I mean, there's so many cool ways that you can stay connected to your work and, your family and everything else. We have a hotspot from Verizon and hotspots on our phone, and we're able to do cool stuff like this and meet a bunch of cool people along the way. So I would definitely recommend it if you're ever given the opportunity.
Yeah. And I think I'm no real estate expert, but I understand that across the country, there is, housing prices are just out of control. Mm-hmm. And I think as long as that continues to exist, I mean, that also contributes to people saying, I'm never gonna be able to afford a home. I'm not, why am I going to shell out this much money to live in a box, a small box, when I can go on the road and, park somewhere and have this incredible experience right outside the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that we didn't realize before we really did this, the amount of national forest and the Bureau of Land Management land and other areas across the country that are just public lands maintained by the federal government and ready for you to come and just park and enjoy. And we've made great use of that. It's been tremendous. I mean, you can find spots. We just parked for a week and we're in a tiny little van, but when the world is so wide open, Georgia loves wandering around. We'll go for hikes. Just wherever we are, and it makes the world seem so much, more your own when you're out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've yet to pay for a traditional campsite. We've been able to do it all, free spots, parking lots, lots of, like Jacob was saying, public lands. So yeah, we feel super lucky to be able to do this and do it, relatively cheap, except for gas prices.
It almost seems like a secret, right? That, it's not widely known that you can just park on BLM land or national parks and be able to experience that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now from July, 2021 through February, 2022, how many states did you visit in your van?
49.
Not Hawaii, but
48, and then Hawaii we did separately.
Yeah.
Okay, so 48 in the van. Does the van have a name? Does it have a trail name?
Shelby.
Shelby.
Shelby coming around the mountains.
Nice. Shelby the van. I love that. Shelby would have a tough time, obviously, making it to Hawaii. That's quite a road trip.
Yeah.
But you do plan on taking Shelby up to Alaska? Or no?
We've thought about it a lot.
We have. Alaska is supposed to be our just vacation. After a year of like finding spots and constantly planning everywhere we're gonna be. So we're thinking of cheating with Alaska. But there's still time. There's still time for us to change our minds. So see if you can convince us on Instagram or something that the drive is really cool. But yeah.
Okay. Very good. What's other than Alaska? Is there anything in your immediate future?
Well, when we hit 49 states and we're still making plans for Alaska, we kind of decided that we should, you know, try to do all the national parks while we're at it. We're not going to be able to probably do all of them, but we've done 44 during this time, and we'd like to do as many more as we can before I have to go back to med school.
Okay. And that's a good trivia question. How many national parks are there?
63.
You're almost there. I mean, you are two thirds of the way there.
Yeah.
The goal is to be to 50 states and 50 national parks by July. So.
Okay. And of the remaining 19 national parks that you haven't been to yet, what is the biggest attraction at this point?
All of the Alaska ones look incredible, but the Channel Islands off of the coast of California, I think that would be a really cool trip that I'm looking forward to taking someday.
Yeah.
Not so much in the van, but yeah.
Yeah.
Now one of the Channel Islands has a thru-hike on it.
Oh, really?
Catalina. You have the Trans Catalina Trail that goes from Avalon to the northern tip, and it's about 38 miles.
Wow. Oh, that's
I've done it twice, and I've got a third trip coming up this summer. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
And fun fact, there are bison on the island.
We just heard something about that recently where they filmed maybe that was on your podcast.
Yeah, I think it was on your podcast. Yeah.
There you go. You're true fans. You've heard the bison story.
Yes, we heard it.
Love it. All right. Hey, Fancy Socks and Cougar Bait, you know where we are?
The pro tip of the week.
The pro tip insight of the week.
You know your stuff. That's right. The pro tip insight of the week. Once again, we get two for one here. What bit of trail wisdom can you share with our listeners to make their next outdoor experience even better? Who wants to go first?
I don't know if we have different ones, do we?
Well, I can give it a shot. You can answer.
Okay.
But I think, you know, just think about this a little bit. Especially when you're planning something, like you're planning a backpacking trip, you're planning a big hike or whatever your adventure is, you feel the need to plan the whole thing out. Most of the time, speaking for myself, I think a lot of people, you know, plan every detail out and just stick to the plan, make it happen, maybe ready for anything. But I think that van life has taught us that being flexible and being ready to just change your plan at the last minute is a really good thing. And be ready to abandon whatever plans you make and make new ones to fit your situation. I just think that some of our best memories in the van have been when we change our plans at the last minute and something cool happens.
Yeah. I mean, mine's kind of cheesy, but it's like, just freaking do it. Like, I don't know. I think we had talked about the van. We had talked about seeing all 50 states. And when you're sitting in your house or whatever, it can be really intimidating to know like where to even begin with that. And I'm really glad we did it and we made it happen, and it's worked out great for us so far. So looking forward to doing more of that in the future.
Well, I think like just like the two of you complement each other, I think those two pro tips complement each other very well. You know, don't wait for the perfect moment, just get out and do it. Just go do it. And then, you know, you can plan as much as you want, but plans change. You know, Mother Nature doesn't always cooperate. You don't always make your miles that you planned on. You have to be flexible. As I like to say, Mike Tyson, I'll quote Mike Tyson here. He says, everybody's got a plan. Everybody's got a game plan until they get punched in the nose. Right. And then you got to adapt. You got to figure it out.
Yeah. That's too good.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Thank you. So there you have it. That's it. This episode is just about in the books. I hope our listeners enjoyed our time with Fancy Socks and Cougar Bait. I want to thank them for joining us this week. How can our listeners keep up with you two on social media, and where can they find updates on your latest adventures? And when you tell us about the social media, I want to hear what the story behind the Parks and Tech handle on Instagram.
Yeah. So Parks and Tech is where we're at on Instagram. So Parks, what is it? Parks and Tech spelled out, and Tech is T-E-C. So the story behind it is we were just like, if we're going to do this cool thing, we have to get an Instagram. Like, that's what the people do, right? And so many cool names are taken. But I think we might have even been watching the show Parks and Recreation at the time. It's one of our favorites. Yeah. Parks and Tech just kind of came up. Appropriately spelled Tech is taken, so I shortened it a little bit, but it kind of sums up what we're doing too. Like, we're trying to see all the parks and we're working our tech jobs at the same time. So,
you know, if we had had that story a little bit earlier, we might have gone with Leslie Nope, or maybe just Nope for your trail name.
That would have been amazing. Dang it.
Okay. Feel free to take that though. If you want to introduce yourself on the trail as Nope, and they're going to say, oh, you're a really negative person, you can then explain, no, it's, nope. It's K-N-O-P-E, right?
We'll see if Fancy Socks sticks.
I like Fancy Socks. Okay. That's good.
All right. Remember to check out the pod on social media as well. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And if you have comments or clips you want to share, you can send it to me at johnfreakingmuir@gmail.com. I jumped the gun a little bit earlier, but here it is now, officially.
The Adventure Media Recommendation.
I am also looking to you two to share a recommendation for a book, a movie, documentary, some kind of outdoor adventure media to keep our listeners connected to the trail. We call this our adventure media recommendation. What do you have for us?
Oh, man, we were not prepared for this question.
Off the top of my head, if you haven't seen Free Solo, you should go and watch that, because that is...
Yeah, there's some van life in that one.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, van life. And that is one insane movie. I've said before that I knew going into the movie, I watched it in IMAX, by the way. Ooh. I knew that everything worked out okay. Spoiler alert, in case you're listening, everything worked out okay. But I was still watching, you know, through my fingers. It was nerve wracking. It made you sick to your stomach seeing what he was doing. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Do you have any recommendations for us? What do we need to watch?
I got some good books for you.
Yeah.
Alone in Wonderland by Christine Reed, about the Wonderland Trail. She does a fantastic job talking about through hiking from the female perspective. Really, really great book. Also, Journeys North by Barney Scout Mann, about his 2007 trip up the PCT from Mexico to Canada. He does a fantastic job giving you the, you know, kind of a firsthand experience of what it's like out there. I mean, you really have a feel for it. And he does a great job of not just talking about it from his perspective, but he went back and he interviewed his trail family. I don't know how many interviews he had to conduct, but he tells the story from the point of view of from several different characters on the trail. And you really get a good sense of it.
Awesome. Yeah. We'll check those out.
Okay. And well, hang on a second. Here we go. Next segment.
Have we not asked you?
Okay. I'm not sure what kind of accent that is. My daughter, she went a little crazy there. But before we wrap things up, I've got one more segment for you called What Have I Not Asked You That You're Dying to Tell Us About? What did we miss? What didn't we have time for? What have you suddenly realized that might be good for people to hear about this?
What you got?
Well, I am looking to do some solo adventures. Once Jacob goes back to med school, the plan was to sell the van and try to enter into that scary housing market that you had mentioned before. But, you know, looking at things, we're like, we got to keep the van. We love her too much. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to some solo adventures. I know we focus a lot on how good we work together. So it's a bit intimidating, but looking forward to seeing what's out there. And I mean, we're super inspired by all the people you've had on your podcast and all of the sweet hikes out there. So I think we've seen a lot of the United States from the van. I think we're looking to see a little bit more on foot. So I think that's, you know, some adventures like that to come.
Okay. You guys have to keep the van. And when Cougarbait finishes medical school, you paint on the van, Dr. Cougarbait, and you drive around. Just imagine the adventures.
Perfect.
We'll think about it.
And depending on your specialty, you could bring out the surgical table and put it there with your, you know, right next to the van. Maybe there's a fold out. I don't know. You know.
Yeah. Oh, outside of the van. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sterile.
All right. That's a wrap from the John Freaky Mirror studio. Any shout outs to friends and family, you guys?
Oh, our families are awesome. I mean, we bought the van and we didn't even tell them because we were so nervous that they were going to be like, what are you doing? Absolutely not. But they're so excited for us. Like everyone we've met, they're like, this is a dream. Do it now. Do what you can. Like no regrets. So I think just we've gotten so much support and it's been incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. All thanks to our parents for all support.
Okay. And Fancy Socks, when you lifted your arm right there, I noticed either a very interesting looking bruise or a tattoo. What do we have there?
It is a tattoo. So when we got married, we did a, you know, people do like unity candles or whatever. So we planted a tree at my parents' land. So we've got a little pine tree, but since we don't always get to visit it, we got it tattooed. So Jacob has one too. It's a little different, but...
Okay. And his is on the left arm. So very, very symmetrical. I like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for tuning in. Always remember the trail is the trail. It doesn't care if you want to go downhill. It doesn't care if it's almost dark and you're looking for a campsite. It doesn't even care if your puggle is barking at the bison standing in front of you. The trail is the trail. Embrace the suck.
Thanks, Doc.
Thank you.
In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Every once in a while, it's fun to go with, like, just full-blown redneck on these fish. This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.